One of the things we'd like to do in future years, the nearest year possible, would be to increase the size of our building on that side. Maybe widen it, lengthen it, and elevate the roof and make a recreation area. Our neighborhood in general is devoid of something for children and teens to meet at, especially on a very positive basis. And play basketball or other events. We've guessed that the cost to do that would just be over $100,000. It's not as much as you might think to add an addition, but it's more than you might expect as well. But last week, a person who's maybe been in our building, I think, one time in 20 years, lives out of state, and who asked that their name not be mentioned so as to not clutter God's gift, sent a check for just over $10,000 to help us start that fund. And God blesses in ways that you would just be amazed. And that really puts us at one-tenth of the way. I say that before we start our offering to say, hey, there are people who believe in the ministry of our church, who appreciate the basis on which we teach, and want to see us continue to spread God's message into this neighborhood. So that's some good news, and hope to give you a little bit more throughout the message this morning. But let's bow and pray before we accept our offering. Father in heaven, Lord, we just give thanks. You continue to bless us individually and as a church in ways that we just don't expect sometimes. And we come today at the time of offering to say thank you. Lord, I just pray that as we give, that you're word would continue to be reflected in our lives, that we can't outgive you, that it's returned, that you bless us for generosity and faithfulness. So Lord, we do give this morning in faith and in obedience, and ask your blessing upon the offering, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, the kiddos can be dismissed to Kingdom Kids. And anyone else who'd like to look up this morning's scripture, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to kind of be parked there throughout the month of December. Okay. All right, will do. All right, will do. Glenn was a missionary with his family in China, and he had been there for decades. They started an underground church in China because it's illegal in China to be a Christian, much less to be a missionary over there trying to convert people to Christianity. And so they operated this way for quite some time, but then they were discovered. They were told they were going to be under house arrest and sent back to the United States. So they were some of the lucky ones. That they weren't put in prison or worse. But they just waited and waited and waited for the time to come where they would be released from house arrest and sent back home. And one day, the day came, a Chinese soldier knocked at their door and said, today's the day. You're going back to the United States today. I'll be back in a few hours. You can take up to 200 pounds with you, but no more than 200 pounds. That's it. And he left. His wife and two children began to try and figure it out. Okay, what goes, what stays? They'd been there for decades. They started packing because they knew they were going to be sent back soon, but they had no idea they'd be limited in poundage. His wife had some decorations, pictures, memories with their family for their decades there. She wanted those things to go. Glenn had his own boxes packed, books, commentaries. Of course, he had his computer, and then his kids. I mean, they had things too. They had some games. They had some books, they had toys, they had stuff they wanted to take back, and the debate began. And they talked back and forth, came to some understanding, and they began to pack. And then they weighed, and what they had put together was well over 200 pounds. And they argued a little bit, and they discussed some more, and they weighed again. And finally, they were close, but they were still over 200 pounds. And they continued the argument. And they were becoming each a little more concerned about who was going to be able to take the things that they wanted to take. And finally they got there, 200 pounds on the dot. And about the time they did it, the knock came at the door, "Are you ready to go?" The soldier said, "200 pounds?" And Glenn said, "Yep, 200 pounds. The soldier saw the pile of stuff gathered away to go, and he said, "Did you weigh the kids?" "No, we didn't weigh the kids." "Weigh the kids." And suddenly nothing else mattered. Suddenly everything they'd been arguing about and bickering about and debating about for the past couple of hours seemed completely irrelevant. Weigh the kids. And when you weigh the kids, it put every single thing else into perspective. It didn't matter about the decorations or the pictures or the commentaries or the books or the computers or the toys or the games. Nobody cared anymore. Things that were incredibly important an hour ago now seem nearly insignificant. Their values had been realigned. And I guess I'd kind of like that to happen for us during this period between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. Because what I know of us is that we can get very caught up in our own little things and going down our own little journey and building our own little kingdoms. And we can become very protective of those things we call ours, our stuff. We can get very focused on, here's what I've acquired, here's what I've accomplished, here's what I've purchased, here's what I want to make sure I can take with me. But then we get these moments of clarity when we realize that what we thought was really very, very important maybe wasn't quite as important as we thought. Maybe that comes at the loss of a job. Maybe that comes at a funeral. But we're just sitting there and we suddenly recognize how brief life is. We're really just here for a moment. We're like dust and gone. And what really matters, we finally figure out, is only that which is eternal. And so we're going to celebrate Christmas like we do every year. And we're going to recognize during this 4-week message series the generosity of God. He's been so generous toward us, and my prayer is that as a church, we would respond to his generosity by becoming generous people, that we would invest our time, our money, our resources, not only into our own kingdoms, not only into just the stuff that we get caught up in, but in what really, really matters. I'm not saying neglect your own little kingdoms, because there's all things that are important to us, and Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full. But that we would find true joy and pleasure by being generous in his kingdom too. So this year we're going to look at the Christmas story from the perspective of the wise men. So the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, we read about them, they understand something significant has happened in the world. They don't understand all the implications of it yet, but they make this long journey to go and worship Jesus. We read about it in Matthew chapter 2. It starts in verse 1, and it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And so they come, they make this journey, they travel to him, and they bring these gifts. We'll talk about some of the specific gifts in the coming weeks, but they come to worship, and they come to bring an offering. That's just what they do. That's their two points. They come to worship, they come to give. And so what we want to do in our response to the birth of Christ is we want to worship, and we want to offer to him. Already we discover a challenge for us, I think, as we lead into Christmas. And the challenge is this: understand that becoming a compassionate and generous person begins with simply having gratitude. That we're grateful people, that we have reasons to be grateful, that we can be grateful for what God has done for us. Even in our toughest times, there are things that we can find that God has done for us that ought to make us grateful. It's interesting because many of the people in that time didn't recognize the significance of the birth of Christ. In fact, I dare say most of the world's population missed it altogether. But you've got these magi, these wise men from the east. They come. It was an 800 to 900 mile journey that they would have made, probably a 6-month round trip commitment that they had, all to come and worship a baby named Jesus. You might ask, how'd they know? Well, they gave us an answer. They said, "We saw his star." You say, "Okay, you saw a star. How'd you know what that star meant? How do you know that you should bring gifts and that you're going to come and worship a king?" But they knew. Well, if you go back about 500 years or so in history, it turns out that where these wise men came from was the exact spot where Daniel in the Old Testament was taken into exile. And when Daniel was there in Persia, Babylon, it's our modern-day Iran. While Daniel's there, he starts writing these prophecies. And essentially, if you study it carefully, Daniel gave us a timeline for the birth of Christ. And these wise men had understood and studied these prophecies of Daniel, and they put the pieces together. And seeing the star, they knew. They said, "This is it. This is what Daniel prophesied about. We've got to go. We have to go and worship. We have to go and take these gifts." And it was the exact right response. And so they make this long journey, but it began with grateful awareness. And that's just where I want to start at today. Grateful awareness. That we're gratefully aware of God's generosity toward us. Because I think our tendency is sometimes to take things for granted. And especially when it comes to Christmas, it's so easy to go through this season and just take the birth of Christ for granted. Because it's so familiar. I know for me, one of the challenges of preaching Christmas every single year, and this is like my 40th year doing it, is to try and capture something new, to capture the awe, to capture the thankfulness we ought to have for the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it's hard to capture because we're so very familiar with it. You've heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, that's partly true, but I think more accurately said, it might be familiarity breeds indifference. You get so familiar with something, you shrug your shoulders, just don't care anymore. It was impressive for a while when you first heard about it. Wow, that's exciting, that's cool, that's different. Now it's just there. Go talk to people who live right outside some mountains, and you'll see that that's true for them. Like, when they first saw those mountains, they just looked so grandeur. So beautiful. I want to live there. I got to live there. And then they go and they live there and they get up the first couple mornings and they look out the window and they love the scenery. And then pretty soon, they just are used to it. And the company comes. Their friends from out of town come and visit. And they look at these mountains and they say, "I can't believe it. What? You are so lucky to have the scenery." I'm just used to it now. Almost forgot it's there. I mean, there's something about familiarity that just causes us to be indifferent when what we ought to do is be grateful and remain grateful. And we got to resist that. This Christmas season, would you make sure you're taking time to be thankful to God for his great gift, the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ? And when we're grateful, I think that gratefulness leads toward generosity. So here's the way I will put this. The journey of generosity, I think, begins with gratitude. You show me someone who's generous, and I'll show you someone who's grateful. Show me someone who isn't generous, and I'll show you someone who's probably discontent, isn't happy, isn't fulfilled. I'll show you someone who feels a little more entitled. Maybe they're getting the short end of the stick. Show me someone who isn't generous, and I'll show you someone who's really confused about how good God has really, really been to them. When you are grateful, I just think it leads toward generosity. This is kind of upside down from the way a lot of people think of it. And some of you are going to hear this and you're going to say, I guess I understand that's true, but personally, I just can't quite get there. Like, what's true is that joy and gratitude comes from generosity. When we're generous, we experience joy. When we're generous, we experience gratitude on a different level. But everything in us and culturally, everything around us says joy and gratitude come from getting, not receiving. It's almost the way we start training our children at a very young age. And we think, well, if I just had this much, then I could. If I could just buy this car, if I could just live in this type of house, if I could just go on this type of vacation, if I could just do that, then I would be really, really grateful. But it's a moving target. It never seems to happen. Instead, what we find biblically is that joy and gratitude come from when we're generous, not from when we are receiving. So generosity begins with gratitude. Gratitude is where the path to generosity starts. And it's not just the generosity of God to us through Jesus. I mean, that is his greatest gift, right? But it's everything. Like every good and perfect gift. James puts it this way. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So every good and perfect gift, everything good in your life, it's come from God, and there's a reason to be grateful to him for it. And some of you are like, well, it's okay to be grateful for Jesus. I understand that. But there's a lot of good things in my life that, quite frankly, I'm responsible for. Right? I mean, you could think that. You might think, I worked really hard in my life. I was a really hard worker. You don't know how hard I worked. Who gave you the ability to work hard? Well, yeah, okay, but I've got these talents. There are certain things that I'm talented in, and I worked really hard to develop those. Who gave you those talents? Like, I've had some really good opportunities that came my way, and some people that you don't even know gave me this or that. Okay, who put those people in your life? You might say, well, I'm good with something. I'm good with technology. I'm really, really good with computers. Okay. Who decided that you would be born into a time and place in history where that even mattered? You know how badly things would have worked out for you if you were born and you're really good at technology, but you would have been born 2,000 years ago? Like, all of your gifts and talents, as impressive as they may be, you wouldn't have lasted very long a couple thousand years ago. Who decided that you would be born here and now? Like, God decides all of these things. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And so the journey to generosity begins with gratitude. It's grateful awareness. We start our day grateful. We start our day paying attention to God's generous gifts to us. And then generosity, or the journey of generosity, I think is fueled by love. I don't have the points up for you today, but it begins with gratitude, and then it's fueled by love. One of my favorite Christmas verses in the Bible is John 3:16. You might not think it's a Christmas verse, but look at it carefully. For God so loved the world that he gave, exactly what we do at Christmas time, his only son. God so loved that he gave. And what we see consistently is that love is always expressed through sacrificial generosity. Always. Like, show me someone who's not a generous person. I'll show you maybe someone who doesn't love very much. Right? Because if you love someone, you want to be sacrificially giving to that person. Like, sacrificial love is expressed, radical love is expressed through radical generosity. That's true of God, and it's true for us in our human relationships, right? And if it's true for us in our human relationships, then it's true for us in our spiritual relationships. So as we begin this year and begin to look toward 2025, I want to challenge you to let's take this journey together, to join the wise men, to be people who are willing to journey, to be sacrificial, to get to the point where we can worship and give to God. And I love this theme, by the way, because it's the way God designed the church to operate. No one gets to take credit for it. For the things the church does, the Lord gets the credit. You know this, but God could do whatever he wants. He could choose anyone or anything he wanted to accomplish his will and purpose. So we're just privileged, I think, by God's grace to be a part of it. We're able to be part of some really, really, really good things in this world only because Jesus Christ has allowed us to be. You know, I've had occasion to reflect over my life over the past few weeks. And from one view, I suppose I could probably get puffed up. I mean, people sometimes praise me or lift me up in ways that maybe I shouldn't be. But I grew up in a poor area of Detroit, and we were one of the poorest families in that area. I'm a descendant of generations of alcoholics. I had no high school graduates in my lineage. I had grandparents who told me I was going to be like them. Their exact words, you will be a bum. And when I look at where I am today, I could be proud that I graduated. I went to college. I rose the ranks in my profession. But the truth of the matter is, I can also look back and honestly assess my life and say, I didn't do it by myself. Some wonderful Christian people stepped into my life and offered me a hand up. We began attending a Christian church, and Craig and Carol Larson didn't look down on us because of what we didn't have, or our old raggedy clothes, or the fact that we didn't live in a very nice home. But they took the love of Christ that filled their lives, and they just began to minister to me and my family. The first time I ever flew on an airplane in my life, it was with Craig and Steve Larson, who took me to a men's ministry clinic in the Kiamichi Mountains in Oklahoma. Most of the scripture that I have memorized to this day are scriptures I learned as part of the Bible Bowl team, and my sponsors were Craig and Carol Larson. Some of the most wonderful experiences I had as a child were Christmas parties and New Year's Eve parties at the home of Craig and Carol Larson. We didn't drink, we didn't use drugs, but we had a good time. I remember those events to today, and I try to replicate them. What they did, without me ever really realizing it until looking back years later, is what they helped me come to know the Lord and help me grow closer to him with every meal out, with every gift they ever gave, with clothes that they passed down to me, with every conversation, every Sunday school class they taught. They were leading me closer to Jesus. Because that is just what we're supposed to do as part of the community of Christ. Reach out in love to other people and help other people come to know and to grow up in him. So today what I want to do for just a couple of minutes is to help you kind of get excited and to feel really good about your work and your ministry at Tri-County Christian Church. And to A, encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, but maybe even B, step it up a little bit because we're making a good difference and we could make even more of a difference. Last year ended, we gave 8 families Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets, just like we're doing this year. Now, I can't know for sure, but tried to estimate the cost with the gift cards that went with them and all of the groceries and the bags and bags and bags of groceries. I'm guessing it was between $1,500 and $2,000 spent on families in need. To put that into perspective, for us, that's about twice our average weekly offering, just in that type of contribution. We received a couple of thank you notes. Here's one of them. Dear Tri-County Church, this year hasn't been the best, and the last couple of months have been so terrible. I go to bed so many nights just hoping beyond hope that I could get a little break, and it seemed no one cared. My parents didn't care. My neighbors didn't care. Me and the kids were just here alone. Yesterday I got bags of food from you and even a gift card. We didn't think we had much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, but now we do. Thank you for caring, and thank you very much for delivering these to us. We don't always get thank you notes, but I think that one gives you the idea of the difference we make with every single delivery of help to someone who is blessed by it. Tri-County also sends money every quarter to Team Expansion Ministry. Team Expansion Ministry is based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. They fund and support missionaries in all parts of the world. They do this so missionaries can spend their time serving and not have to come back home and spend all their time raising money. And when you contribute at Tri-County Christian Church, you contribute to Team Expansion Ministries in helping send people into parts of the world where most of us probably don't want to go to take the message of Jesus Christ to a hurting people. Here's a very short video I just want you to watch that highlights their work, because you are a part of this.
Team Expansion's aim is to multiply disciples and churches among the unreached. Born out of extraordinary prayer, we partner with the global church to mobilize, train, and coach qualified workers in the implementation of the fruitful practices of church planting movements. Today, almost 3 billion people, about 40% of the world's population, have absolutely no access to the gospel and have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. These unreached people groups are made up of men and women, boys and girls, who will live and die without knowing the power of God's grace, unless someone tells them. What are we doing to change this? Team Expansion is a group of hundreds of missionaries from all walks of life, serving in over 40 countries. We have different passions, gifts, and roles to play. But each of us is sold out to making disciples who make disciples. From serving disaster victims in Asia, to students in a Muslim land, from remote groups in South America, to gypsies of Eastern Europe, from tribal villages in Africa, to major cities in Asia. Each place is as different as the people who serve there. But around the world, we are meeting needs, mending hearts, sharing the gospel, making disciples, and planting churches that plant churches. Every day, Team Expansion is impacting individuals and entire communities for eternity. The time is at hand and the fields are ripe. Join us as we change the world for Christ.
Something else that you contribute to as part of our church is an organization called International Disaster Emergency Services. They're basically the Red Cross of the Christian community. They have teams of people that are ready to go around the world and help provide relief after a natural disaster. They provide funds to help people get back on their feet, sometimes just to have water after a disaster. They were recently in North Carolina and Florida and Tennessee, but they're not just in the United States, they're global. They're an international organization. They're a very low overhead type of organization. They don't pay most of their organization. Some of you might be familiar with Mark McGilvery, who had been the lead minister at the Memorial Church of Christ for many years. He's on their board, serves at no cost, even travels to their board meetings at his own expense, which is the way their board of directors operates, so that our contributions are maximized in that organization. Again, here's just another short minute clip about their work.
On a global scale, disasters are imminent. People affected by either natural or man-made disasters often don't think that those situations can happen to them. But when disaster does strike, those affected often feel helpless with nowhere to turn to in time of need. Since 1973, the International Disaster Emergency Service has been serving globally to meet people's physical and spiritual needs. Our focus areas of disaster response, hunger relief, community development, and medical care all center around our main focus of evangelism by showing the love of Christ to those affected by disasters or are in desperate situations. IDES has been part of God's work in the most difficult times of people's lives, when there was no food in the middle of a drought, when there was no clean water, when homes were destroyed, and when life-saving surgeries were needed. We've seen God work through his people to respond to those who are hurting with help and hope. And this is why we exist. As we embark on our next 50 years, IDES is expanding help and hope to include international field workers, strategically planting churches and communities we help, and a commitment to leadership training and disciple making. We invite you to be a part of what God is doing.
We received a lot of calls throughout this year, just like we do every year, but they've been increased during this last year with the rising cost of services and food. People just wanting help. They need rent assistance. They need help with utilities. They need food. We've had people stop here who are on the road, they run out of gas and need money to complete their travels. And these are very difficult calls. They almost always sound urgent, and many times they are. Sadly, there are a number of them that are just simply scams. People of ill intent have learned how to take advantage of the generosity of Christian people and churches in specific. They've learned how to say exactly what they need to say to maximize the funds they receive. And when you start talking to local pastors, you find out sometimes we have all given to the exact same person with the exact same need, and the dollar amount got very high. Something I'd like to do next year is establish a committee of people in our church who can quickly review these requests as they come in as a group so that others of you can be involved in this effort. Sometimes, though, while I'm doing this on my own, I ask for utility statements, and we pay utility companies directly. Sometimes we ask for landlord information, and we verify past due rent needs, and we pay landlords directly. We are really cognizant of the fact that the funds we use here to help people are given by you generously with the expectation we use that very wisely. So we try very hard not to give funds away to persons who are not truly in need, but we don't want to turn people away either. So far in this year, 2024, we have provided over $2,600 in personal assistance for people who needed emergency funds. Again, to put that in perspective, that's about 3 out of our 52 weeks of offering, just for that one specific type of fund. I'm going through these things today because I want to highlight your generosity and the corporate generosity of our church. I think what we're doing is the pattern that was established in the New Testament church. It was stated a little differently, and the needs were a little different, but they were generous and they brought their offerings to the church and they were distributed to persons who have needs with the goal of getting the gospel into the hearts and minds and ears of people who needed to receive it. This year, we will ultimately give about 15% of our total offerings to benevolent and mission resources. And I just want you to know that is an outstanding number for any church of any size. Most are well under 10%. So congratulations to you, and I hope you go home feeling good about that. I think sometimes it's easy to come to church and focus on what we're not doing and miss what we're accomplishing. I want you to leave church today feeling good about what we're doing. But it's not just money. It's time. It's effort. It's hands-on ministry. I'm not going to mention names in this next portion of the message, because a lot of people have told me over and over and over, don't use my name. I just want to serve. I do it because I love the Lord. I do it because I want to be part of this church. I don't do it for recognition. But I want you to know, and I want you to consider, we have someone here who sometimes many days here during the week, but at least once a week, cutting grass, trimming, picking up debris. We've had people going, doing maintenance in our building to make it safer and more attractive. A great deal of work went in just to the entryway with new stairs and tile and paint. We've had people working in the basement, a huge project that's going to make a difference to our youth group or others who use that in the near future. I don't know if you realize this, but I know our worship team is here almost every, they weren't here this last Friday, you guys ruined it. But they're here almost every Friday, you know, for an hour or so, getting ready for Sunday worship. And then they're here early on Sunday mornings, just to make sure we're ready for the best service we can have for you. Over the years in ministry, I've learned that there are some who come to church who want to get as much out of it as they possibly can. But there's others who come because they want to give as much as they can possibly give And it's the latter group who are the most happy in ministry. Some quit because they aren't being served enough, while others come because they can't wait to serve. It's those who can't wait to serve who leave the most joyful every week. Last summer, we had a crew of people who redid all of the light fixtures in the other half of our building. It was a labor of love. It was nasty. You opened up those top things, and I shouldn't tell you about the bugs that came out. But we have way better lighting, and it's costing us less money. Some of the best pictures we publish on our Facebook page and on our website come from someone who in our church who could be paid as a photographer but chooses to donate her time to our efforts and just do that for us. Recently, someone said, you know, we need a midweek children's program in our church. We don't have one. They didn't stop there. They said, we're willing to do it. We'll start teaching the class on Wednesdays. All of our teachers are volunteers. Our nursery is staffed by volunteers. Our food basket program is led by volunteer. Almost every week, we have a lady or a pair of ladies who come in and they clean our building. Now, a couple of them cheat. They say they come in after the others did and said, oh, I got my week wrong. But it's an old building, and it's not fun or easy to clean. And they do such a good job keeping it up for us. This year, our church participated in Operation Christmas Child. For the second year in a row, we collected items and filled shoeboxes full of gifts for children in impoverished areas of the world. Each box included a personal handwritten note, and we'll have information about Jesus' love for them. And what really kind of cool is that we started this last year. This year, we doubled the number of boxes we did in 2023. We double again next year. We're going to need a bigger car to move them. And what I'm saying to you is that Tri-County is a generous church with generous people who love participating in the ministry of our Lord. We do a pretty good job here. Are there things we can do better? Probably. Are there things we can do more? I suspect so. And that's why after church this morning, we're going to have another group of volunteers out in the fellowship hall, and you're welcome to join them. You can be part of this today. They're just going to meet in what we call the 2818 mission group. They're going to meet once a month just to discuss what we're doing, what we can do better, what we should do, what we should add. What can we do to make our church a better church? What can we do to minister better? What can we do to take the love of Jesus to others in ways we're not doing it right now? And that's why they're meeting. On Friday, I went to work, the day after Thanksgiving, and I share an office area with a lady who's a devoted Christian. Her family's, she's got a long history with her family in the church. And she said every year at Thanksgiving time, we always end the meal by going around the table. There's about 20 of them. And they all have to say something that they're thankful for over the past year. And that's what they do. It's their Thanksgiving tradition. But this year they changed it up. And they said, this year we want everyone around this table to think of one thing they can do to contribute more to Christ's kingdom next year. And before they were done with dinner, every person around that table came up with one thing that they could do to contribute more to Christ's kingdom this year. What a good idea. Our world is so badly in need of Christ's love. And the only way they experience is if Christians take it to them. We literally are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, and we're doing his work in our world. This year, our church has given me a lot of time and resources to reach out to people that in our society are easy to miss. We are raising in our country a generations of persons who have not been taught the value of freedom, the responsibility of freedom, of citizenship, and basic works expectations. Many of them, over half of our young people, are growing up in one-parent homes. About 90% of them are growing up in homes that aren't involved in church. They're not learning about the Lord. They're not learning basic morals and values the way prior generations did. And I've been able to meet a lot of these young people and spend time with them. I have spent more time in courtrooms supporting persons who are in legal challenges in the past year than I did in my previous 40 years of ministry combined. It's a bad thing that so many people are going through these struggles, but it's a good thing that someone wants to help. I've spent more time in jails in this last 18 months than I did in my previous 40 years of ministry combined. I've cooked a lot of meals, played a lot of cornhole, spent a lot of time driving miles to people, to appointments, and have made friends, genuine friendships with people you may never imagine I'd be friends with, irrespective of age, sex, or sexual orientation. without judgment for what their lives have been in the past, but teaching them and showing them how their lives can be better in the future. I wish that I could be the Craig and Carol Larson to some people in my life the way that they were to me. In fact, started a weekly group, usually met at my home. I hope that we made a difference. Need to get that going again. Andrew Barnowski was part of that group for a while, for a long time, came to almost every meeting we had, and he might be able to tell you a little bit more about that and a little bit more about what our church has, the difference we've made in his life.
Hey guys. I started at this church a year and a half ago. When I first heard about the church, I wasn't into it because I haven't gone to church in 9 years. Then one Sunday, I was convinced by Bradley to come to church one time to see if I would like it. So, of course, I said yes because it was just one time. I went with Bradley, Alex, Haley, and Jake. After the sermon, I overheard about a young adult group that could... started, so that was interesting to me. A few weeks passed by and I went again. This time was different than the first time. The sermon that Pastor Randy was speaking felt like it was meant or about me. Something just flicked in my head. After that, I just kept going weekend after weekend. Shoot. Then later on, we started a young adult group with my old group, and we would meet every Wednesday. For once, I had a set schedule in my life. After a few months of blessings, our blessings started coming my way. It felt like it was a luck streak, but nothing could explain that besides God blessing me. We later started going to Randy's house because our old leader left. We would eat then, we would watch videos or listen to verses in the Bible and talk more about them and what they meant. I was doing good. Then lots of bad stuff came around and I slew down on going, but Randy never gave up on me. Every weekend he asked if I was going to church, and every weekday he would check up on me and make sure I was living God's way. I was hanging around the wrong people and ended up getting in more trouble and then spent a month in jail. After that, I went to church and didn't miss one sermon for 6 months straight. Then recently, I just started slowing down, but coming back now. After all this, this church has been a house of family and friends that love me, and I love you guys. Thank you.
I think the biggest challenge of Andrew's generation is that the church has basically stepped out of their lives. We're not investing the time we used to invest, and we gotta care more, we gotta do that, we gotta just keep reaching out and doing more. We have opportunities. The opportunities are unlimited, but we have resources to probably do a little more. But my hope is that you leave church today feeling really, really good about what we are doing as a church. And I hope you leave determined to do more to pursue the Lord, just like the wise men did some 2,000 years ago. I probably don't have the great conclusion to the message because there's another 10 minutes to go and I'm way over now, so I'm going to leave it at that. but God's generosity to you is something you ought to be very grateful for, and I hope it compels you to be a more generous person. I hope your love for God will fuel that generosity, and let's just keep exploring what we can do to take what we already do really, really good, really, really well as a congregation, and expand it and do more.
Time of reflection. Thank you, Andrew. That takes a lot of courage to come in front of people that, even if you know them, it takes a lot of courage to come up and tell your story and speak from your heart. Even though you was reading from your phone, you could tell you was speaking from your heart because you had to take time to put all that in there for you. So I'm glad you're here today. I'm grateful for the message that we received today. I wished we'd have had that last week. Well, we're going to find out that this is truly Christmas season. Will you stand and will you sing this medley of angel songs with me this morning?
Angels from the ground.